Listen, at the end of this last year, Lord began this word began just building in my spirit. And it was a word that I was familiar with, but it was taking on more weight. It was getting heavier and heavier and heavier on the inside of me. The closer I got to 2022, it kept getting heavier and heavier. And it was this word, thrive, thrive. Anybody like that word? Would you like to thrive in 2022? You know, is that better than surviving? Come on, I don't want to survive 2022. I want to thrive in 2022. And so that word kept getting heavier and heavier on the inside of me. And then God connected that word to his word, Ephesians 3:20, that now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, come on, we could ask or think according to the power that worketh on the inside of us. And man, we just begin to pound that scripture. You know, meditate on it, prophesy it, declare it. Just meditate on it over and over. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh on the inside of us. Does that sound like thrive to you? You know, what that means is in 2022, a bunch of things that are going to happen are going to blow your mind. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. So we've just been declaring that over this year. And then here recently, the Lord added a word to that thrive, and it was this right here. And this is really going to be part of the theme of this year, and no matter what I'm preaching on, this thread is gonna run through it. And it's not just thrive, but it's thrive regardless. Come on, say that with me, thrive regardless. And what that tells me, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to go down in 2022. You know, there's a lot of things that are going to happen in our world. There's a lot of things that are going to happen in the economy and politics and, come on, stuff on the media and just, how many know there's a lot going on in the world right now? There are protests all over the world. I mean, there is stuff going on everywhere. Guess what? We're going to thrive regardless. Come on, thrive regardless. Politics, economy, vaccine, COVID, whatever. We're going to thrive regardless. Our best days are ahead. Nothing the devil can do about it. We're going to see God do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. But what I wanted to share with you today are some things that can really make that a reality. Because you got to be careful sometimes that you don't just have a pipe dream. Come on, that what you're declaring, you have some instruction, you've got a path, you've got a journey. Come on, you've received some things from the Holy Spirit that can make those declarations truly manifest in your life. Amen? So turn over to one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Turn over to John, the second chapter. John, the second chapter. I love John 2. I love this story. I've been preaching, full disclosure, I've been preaching out of this story for years and years and years. There's so much that I've preached out of this. There's so many different directions you can go. But we're talking about the story when Jesus went to a wedding at the Cana of Galilee. Come on, y'all know that story. What did Jesus do to that water? Come on, he turned it into wine. Amen? Y'all know the story. Let me just give you some highlights. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, verse 1. Verse 2, Jesus was called with his disciples. Verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Come on, they ran out. Verse 4, woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come. The mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were 6 water pots of stone there in verse 6. Jesus said, fill them up. Fill them up, fill them up. Now draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And it says, and they bear it. And then verse 9, it says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, he called the bridegroom, said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you've kept the good wine until now. And then one of my favorite scriptures, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I love that story. And there's different reasons. One of them is it really reveals the heart of the Father. This was the first miracle that Jesus did And it was a beautiful miracle that really showed the heart of the Father. You know, in the Old Testament, water was turned into blood. Come on, do y'all remember that? One of the plagues of Egypt. Come on, Moses turned the river, that water, into blood. Well, in the Old Testament, water was turned into blood. We're talking law. Come on, we're talking judgment. But now we're in a new covenant. Now we're in the New Testament. And the first miracle that Jesus did is he didn't turn water into blood. He turned water into wine. Come on, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Come on, God, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Come on, the heart of the Father is not a funeral. Come on, it's a wedding. I love that. Heart of the Father. Grace. Somebody say grace. That's the heart of the Father. It's His grace towards you. The second thing I love about this story is it just tells you what a miracle is. It's not some, a miracle isn't, you know, theological mumbo jumbo. All a miracle is, you ready? All a miracle is when God turns water into wine. That's it. It's the most simplest definition of a miracle. God turns water into wine. In other words, God turns this into that. Or how about this? God turns something you don't want into something you do want. That's all a miracle is, all right? How about this? It's when God turns something that Satan has meant for your destruction into something for His glory. That's all a miracle is. A miracle is when God does this. He just turns something around. Amen? How many of you got some things in your life that you need God to turn around? Come on, in your body, spiritually, physically, financially, family, kids. Come on, husband, wife. Come on, job, career. How many of you got something you need God to turn around? You got some water that you want Jesus to turn into wine. That sounds like exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, doesn't it? Amen? And so I love that. It just shows you what a miracle is. But I'm going to tell you what initially brought me to that chapter was that apparently rude statement that Jesus made to His mama. You ever read that and wonder what that's about? I mean, you know, Mary walks up to Jesus and says, "Hey, baby, they have no wine." And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, first of all, first thing that came out of His mouth was woman. Now, listen, I'm a Louisiana boy, and I had a mama, and my mama could out-mad just about anybody. And my mama was something. And if woman would have ever came out of my mouth, psh, 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 I mean, I'd have been waking up next week. Anybody got a mama like that? And so He says, "Woman, what have I to do with you?" And He didn't say, "Woman, what have I to do with this situation?" That's not what He said. He said, "Woman, what have I to do with you?" And that always kind of bothered me, because does that sound like our Jesus? And you know He loved His mama. You loved your mama, right? Well, you know Jesus loved His mama. What was that about? And I remember years ago just asking the Holy Spirit and just meditating on that. And when the Holy Spirit showed me what that was all about, it really changed my life. He said, "Well, what was that all about?" Do you remember the little story in Luke 2 when Jesus was 12 years old and He went AWOL? Y'all remember that? He went jailbreak. Come on. They were 3 days down the road and they found out, no Jesus, so they had to turn around. Come on, 3 days back to Jerusalem. Where did they find Him? They found Him at the temple, discussing things with the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so Mary runs up on that boy, half of her wanted to, wear his behind out. The other half of her wanted to hug his neck off. You mamas, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? What did Jesus say? He said, "Woman, come on." He said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" That was one focused little 12-year-old, wasn't it? 12 years old. "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" Well, if He was that focused at 12, how focused was He at 30? That's what she ran into at the wedding. He's 30. If He was that focused at 12, how focused was He at 30? When she ran into Him at that wedding, that wasn't her little boy anymore. That wasn't a carpenter's son anymore. That man had been baptized in the Holy Ghost at the River Jordan. He knew he had about three and a half years to complete an assignment. He knew Calvary was coming. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew all of mankind, past, present, and future, was riding on his shoulders. His assignment wasn't mama and family anymore. His assignment was mankind. She was dealing with the most focused 30-year-old man that had ever lived, and the father hadn't said anything to him about this wine issue. He was there discipling those disciples. So here's my question for you. I'm not asking you to be as focused as a 30-year-old Jesus, but are we gonna let a 12-year-old Jesus be more focused than us? Come on, we're going into 2022. We all want to thrive regardless. We all want to see exceedingly, but above all we could ask or think, you gonna let a 12-year-old Jesus be more focused than you? See, if we want to see those things, if we want 2022 to be phenomenal, then we're gonna have to take focus to another level. You say, but Brother Phil, that's really not a fair question. We're talking about Jesus here. 12. Yeah, but he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. 12. I love that word focus. The only reason people fail is because of broken focus. I'm begging you this year, don't get distracted. There's going to be so much going on in our world. Don't be distracted. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. I mean, do y'all understand the age that we're living in? Can back in the day before social media, before the internet, all that stuff, do you know the only business that we knew? You knew your business. Maybe you knew your family's business. Maybe you knew a few people in the church's business. But you didn't know a lot of people's business because people didn't get out, come on, and put their business out on display for everybody to see and hear. But these days, come on, we get on Facebook and we're strolling and we're like, oh, Sister So-and-so hurt her toe. Father, bless Sister So-and-so's toe. And then we're scrolling and we go, oh, Brother So-and-so's son's acting like a fool. He wants us to pray. Father, just bless this Brother So-and-so's son. And then, oh, Sister So-and-so needs a job. Father, just, are y'all getting this? And you're just scrolling and we know everybody's business. Oh, somebody has a prayer request. They don't want to tell us what it is, but they just have a prayer request. They just asking everybody, Father, I don't know what's going on, but Father, just bless them. Do you realize how much we have on us now? Well, you praise God for prayer, but this is not the hour to be distracted. This is the hour to be laser, come on, laser focused. And every time I read this, I want 2022 to be our most kingdom focused year we've ever had. Amen? So, here recently, end of the year, I'm reading back through this story, and I saw something I'd never seen before. I saw something that was in front of me the whole time, and the Holy Ghost just opened up my eyes to see, and it really just confirmed some things in me, but at the same time, it just gave me a greater focus, and it also gave me the atmosphere for not just this miracle that took place, but it gave me the atmosphere for all miracles. This miracle, it happened at a wedding, right? What is a wedding all about? What is the atmosphere of a wedding? Well, some people say, well, of course, love. Well, not really. I mean, love is before the wedding. Come on, love is going to be after the wedding. Really, the atmosphere of a wedding is one word, honor. This word honor. Everything about a wedding is honor. Let's think about it. Come on, let's just go down the list. Everybody is there because you're there to honor the bride and the groom. Everything is around them, right? The bride and the groom. But it goes beyond that. You got both sets of family. They're there and they're being honored because they're the families. And then, of course, you know, the grooms, he's got a best man. And the best man's being honored, and he's got his groomsmen, and they're being honored. And then, come on, you ladies have the maid of honor. And oh my God, she asked me to be the maid of honor. You know, and so she's feeling so honored. And then you got the bridesmaids, and they're feeling honored. And then Pastor Paul, how many marriages have you done? And of course, the preacher is always honored. And then of course, you have people sitting at the head table, right? And they all feel honored because they're sitting at the head table. And then you got the wedding coordinator, and you know, and they're being honored because they're in charge. And then everyone that's there, how do they feel? Because they got invited. Honored. Everything about a wedding is honor. Honor is the atmosphere for miracles. Put that image up. Honor is the atmosphere for miracles. But here's the thing. All that honor was about to get flushed down the drain. All that honor was about to go. Why? They ran out of wine. Now, maybe in our culture, Pastor Paul, that's not a big thing. But in that culture, where they had been preparing for months for this wedding, to run out of wine like that would have dishonored the bride and the groom. It would have dishonored the families. It would have dishonored the governor of that feast. It would have dishonored Mary, who had some sort of authority there at the wedding because the servants obeyed her, right? They were about to run out of wine, and all that honor was about to turn to dishonor, and in steps Jesus. Jesus steps into that situation. And he took honor to a whole nother level. He turned all that water into wine. And I want you to just pretend you're there for a second. Come on, he says, take the first dip, you know, and he takes it and give it to the governor of the feast. And the governor of the feast, he drinks the wine. He calls the bride and the groom over. And what does he say? Y'all know what he says. He goes, everybody, he said, every wedding I've ever been to, everybody starts off with the good wine. And then when people get drunk, they bring out the trash. And people are so drunk, they don't even realize it. He says, not you guys. Y'all have done something I've never seen happen before. Y'all brought out the best for last. And the whole thing is honor, but can you imagine what happened to the bride and the groom when he said what he said? I mean, you, right? And then the families, right? Come on, the governor, all of a sudden the governor felt more honored. The family was more honored. The bride and groom was more honored. And then everybody that was there that day even felt more honored that they were at a wedding that chose the best wine for last. But then there's something else going on here, because there's people in that room that had knew what had happened. And so the governor says what he says, and where do all the disciples look? Come on, they all looked to Jesus because they knew it was him. And in that moment, Jesus was honored. And then Jesus looks over and Mary's looking at him, and Mary gives him that look because she knew it was because of him. But I want you to think about something. When Jesus does something, he takes it to levels exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Because after 2,000 years, that's the most famous wine in the history of the world. Those are the most famous 6 water pots in the history of the world. And that's the most famous wedding in the history of the world. Come on, I'm telling you right now, when you get to heaven, there's a couple up there. And they wear these t-shirts. And on the back it says, we're the couple in John 2. And they walk around heaven like, and people walk up to them and they go, wait a minute. Y'all were the couple that got married there in John the second chapter? Yes, we were. You got to tell us what happened. Okay, well, there we were. And for 2,000 years, how many times do you think they've been telling that story? Huh? Honor is the atmosphere for miracles. Honor is the, what is honor? It's to esteem something or someone highly. Honor. But probably my favorite definition of honor is my wife Laura. And she's here. Come on, give my wife a hand clap. Miss Laura's here. Her definition of honor is this. This is what God gave her. And it's more in the atmosphere of a husband and a wife, but I think it applies across the board. She says it's not stumbling over who someone isn't, but it's appreciating who they are. You know, the Bible says to honor your husband. Amen. Well, it's not about stumbling over who your husband isn't, but it's loving and appreciating who he is. Isn't that good? But how many know we can be like that with everybody? Honor is not stumbling over who someone's not. It's appreciating them for who they are. An incredible definition of honor. But here's some things prophetically I want to share with you about honor. We're living in a day where we need to honor people. If we want to see greater miracles, Pastor Paul, if we want to see exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, God do things that blow our mind, we all need to do a better job of honoring people. Now listen, it's easy to honor honorable people. But you know when you take honor to another level is when you start honoring the potential in all people. Let me say that again. You start honoring the potential in all people. So whoever walks through these doors in Mansfield, Manny, Stonewall, their life is a wreck. Come on, they're on drugs. They got all these problems. And maybe you're looking at them and you're talking to them and there's not much honorable about them. We can honor that potential. One of my favorite quotes is by Mike Murdoch, said this years ago. He said, he's Pastor Casey, he said, in every person there's a king and a fool. And the person you talk to is the one that responds back to you. That's about honor. Every person who comes through these doors in 2022, there's a king and a fool in them. You know what we're going to do? We're going to honor the king in them. We're going to honor that potential. And it's going to create a miracle atmosphere for what? Miracles. So God can do what in their life? Turn things around. Another thing is we can honor the giftings in people. You know, it's easy to look at me or Pastor Paul or Pastor Casey or Jessica Wren, and you look at people up on the stage playing music or preaching, and sometimes it's easy to see those giftings. But I'm telling you right now, every person in this room, y'all have a gifting just as much as we have a gifting. There's something God has given you to build the kingdom. Nobody is giftless. We all have a gifting, and we need to do a better job of helping people discover what that gifting is and then honor the giftings in the house. This last year in 2021, y'all know we lost Dr. Rob Carman. He graduated to heaven. He's up there. The greatest storyteller in the world is up in heaven telling more stories. I love Dr. Rob. He meant so much to me in my life. But one of the foundational messages of his life was, in the church world, they always say things are secular or sacred. That if you're in ministry, you know, that's sacred. But if you're just working a job, if you're out in the world, well, that's secular. And Dr. Rob was, that was hogwash to him. Because Dr. Rob saw everything is sacred. That a school teacher, that's sacred. A doctor, that's sacred. A lawyer, that's sacred. Athletics, that's sacred. Come on, anything God's given you to do, it's sacred. We're going to be light and we're going to be salt. And we're going to use that gifting to further the kingdom. Well, that goes back to that honor, doesn't it? That we can create an atmosphere where we're honoring the giftings that are in the house, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. We need to do better when it comes to honoring the moment. This service right now, this is a moment that will never exist again. It's a snowflake moment. Where you're sitting, me being here, me preaching what I'm preaching. Come on, right, this moment, well, it's never happened before in history, and it'll never happen again in history. This is a snowflake moment. And when the more you honor these moments, the more glory you're going to see in that moment. This is not just another service. It's not just another Sunday morning. We're not checking the box. This moment has never happened before. It will never happen again. And one of the things we've got to do, if we want to see more miracles, if we want to see thrive, if we want to see exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, is we got to get rid of all the familiarity and all the apathy. And it's just another service, and it's just another message, and it's just another check the box. I went to church on Sunday. Because when we have that kind of mentality, that's not honoring the moment. That's doing what? That's dishonoring the moment. And then we wonder why we're not seeing the move of the Holy Ghost that we want to. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, could we do better at honoring Him? Honoring the Holy Spirit. You know, I was preaching up in Kentucky. Preaching up in Kentucky, and this pastor told me, a friend of his was in his office on a Sunday morning. He was fixing to come out to preach. It was about 10 minutes before the service began, and one of the elders stuck his head in the door, and he went, "Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Reinhard Bonnke just walked in." And he goes, "Like, what'd you just say?" "Yeah, I think Reinhard Bonnke is here." He goes, "No way." He goes, "I'm serious. I think Reinhard Bonnke." If you know who Reinhard Bonnke is, there's three men that have preached to more human beings that have ever lived. And that's Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, and T.L. Osborne. I don't know which one won, but they preach to a lot of people. Probably all of them over a billion people. He sticks his head out the door, and sitting in the back is Reinhard Bonnke. And so he walked back there and introduced himself and just thanked him so much for coming. And he said, Dr. Reinhard Bonnke, we would be so honored if you could get up and just greet everyone and just whatever the Lord puts on your heart. We just have to hear from you." What is that? What is that? Come on, what is that? Now, if we would do that with Reinhard Bonnke, how much more should we do that with who? What about honoring Jesus? Come on, honoring Jesus. And honoring the wonderful, incredible, amazing, holy name of Jesus. We can never honor Him enough. You say, "Well, Brother Philip, what about the Father?" Well, let's use some common sense here. If you honor people, are you going to be honoring the Father? If you honor the giftings in the house, are you going to be honoring the Father? If you honor the moment, are you going to be honoring the Father? If you honor the Holy Spirit, are you going to be honoring the Father? If you honor Jesus, are you going to be honoring the Father? Let's reverse it. If you're not honoring people, are you honoring the Father? If you're not honoring the giftings in the house, are you honoring the Father? If you're not honoring the moment, are you honoring the Father? If we're not honoring the Holy Spirit, are you honoring the Father? If we're not honoring Jesus, is there any way you can honor the Father? Honor's the atmosphere for miracles. Honor is the ground that miracles come forth from. Honor is the air that miracles breathe and come to life. Honor is the river that miracles move. Come on, stand to your feet. In just a moment, I want to pray over you. And I want to declare thrive. I want to declare Ephesians 3:20. I just want to declare that over your life. But everybody look up here for a second. There's a lot going to go down in our country in 2022. You're going to see a lot of dishonorable things. You're going to see people do a lot. You're going to see people do evil things. You're going to see people do dishonorable things. you're gonna hear the left dishonor the right and the right dishonor the left. You're gonna hear things being said about people. There's gonna be so much name calling in our country this year. Don't let that spirit get on you. Should we pray? Absolutely. Do we stand up for what's right? Absolutely. Do we stand up against what's wrong? Absolutely. But we can do all that in a honorable way. In an honorable way. This year, y'all ever heard of, man, my wife went on a shopping spree. Come on, men, y'all ever, my wife went on a shopping spree. And then sometimes you hear this, you watch something on the news and somebody went on a killing spree. Hey, in 2022, let's go on an honor spree. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed.